First reading is from the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah. Am I a God nearby, says the Lord, and not a God far off? Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? Have I heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed? How long will the hearts of the prophets ever turn back, those who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart? They plan to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, just as their ancestors forgot my name for Baal. Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let the one who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. The second reading is from the book of Hebrews, chapters 11 and 12. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land, but when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, and of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. What was it I said last week in my sermon that we were going to have some really hard words from Jesus this week? Did anyone catch that? Yeah? I told Kelsey on Thursday, well, Jesus is bringing fire to the earth and dividing families, so this is going to be a great sermon. And we do have these difficult passages, and when we do, it's often tempting to want to just gloss over them or skip them altogether, focus on the psalm reading or something else. But I think it's important for us to look at these upsetting passages and troubling parts and talk about them, see what they mean. So let's start right in with the fiery part. Jesus said, I have come to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Fire imagery is so loaded in the church because of generations of fire and brimstone sermons, right? So you cannot hear the word fire or burn in a church without all of that history being conjured up. So we have to try and separate ourselves from that in order to let go of preconceived ideas and really listen, to really hear what it is Jesus is saying. And in order to do that, in order to hear what Jesus is saying, we also need to think about the context of the Gospel of Luke in which Jesus is saying this. What has led up to this? What has Luke told us about Jesus up to this point? And if we go all the way back to the beginning of Luke, back when Elizabeth and Mary were both expecting, pregnant with John the Baptist and Jesus, Mary has that song, right, the Magnificat, where she sings praises to God, but she sings them in terms of the lowly being lifted up and the hungry being fed, these reversals that God enacts, the justice that God brings to the earth, lifting up those who have been pushed down and caring for those in need. That is what Mary praises God for. And that is a theme throughout Luke. That change is coming, and it is a change for justice, a change of care for those who have not been cared for. And this theme can be seen throughout Jesus' ministry and what he has done throughout the gospel, from healing Simon's mother-in-law and all of the suffering people that were brought to him, his teachings on loving our enemies, his practice of welcoming and showing kindness to those who've been labeled as outcasts and sinners, to his call to the good, in the Good Samaritan story, to be a neighbor to everyone we encounter. In all of the miracles that Jesus enacts and in the message that he preaches throughout the gospel, there's this consistent message of love and care for those in need. So nothing leading up to this passage would suggest that Jesus desires to bring fire of destruction to the earth. Nothing. It's important for us to remember who Jesus is in this passage, and also for us to remember what fire represents in Scripture. In Scripture, fire is not generally about destruction, and to read it that way would be very inconsistent with the message that Jesus has given us up to this point. Instead, if we look to Scripture as a whole, fire is often used to represent the presence of God. Think about Moses and the burning bush. And that fits here with what Jesus is about. Jesus desires to bring the kingdom of God to earth. And Jesus is God present on earth. Another way that fire is used in Scripture is the image of a refining fire. Fire that burns away impurities, leaving behind what is good and beautiful. And through John the Baptist, Luke has already told us that Jesus brings a fire of purification and refinement. I think that is one that's gone off the rails a bit in the past, that somehow people turned it into God burning away the bad people and leaving the good people, instead of recognizing that the impurities that God wants to burn away are in our communities and to some degree within each of us. Anna and Brett and I just finished watching our third season of the show Blown Away. I don't know if anyone else has watched that. It's a glass-blowing competition show. And in it, the glassblowers use these furnaces that get up to 2,000 degrees and glory holes that get up to 1,700 degrees. And they use them to burn away the impurities and leave behind this beautiful crystal clear glass, which the artists use to make beautiful sculptures. Refining fire, that's what they're using here. And what's put into the fire isn't destroyed, it's changed into something beautiful. Jesus wants to get rid of the impurities of our world. Jesus wants to get rid of oppression, exploitation, greed, and all of the ways that we harm each other and ourselves. Jesus wants to burn all of that away, not with a fire of destruction or punishment, but with a fire of change and of God's presence in the world. Of course, none of that is easy, and it can even hurt, because change is hard, especially change that calls us to put the needs of others before our own comfort and desires. One last thing about the fire language. We know in our own modern vernacular, fire is a word for passion. And this intense language that Jesus uses reflects an intense passion and desire for God's kingdom. An intense passion and desire for the well-being of God's creation, of the world, and God's people. Jesus is passionate here with this desire to light a fire of change in the world. Okay, the next difficult verse. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. And then we get all those examples of how families will be divided, father against son, mother against daughter. Again, if we look at the context of Jesus' preaching and ministry, it's clear here that the goal isn't division. The goal is a new world. God's kingdom breaking in, coming to fulfillment here on earth, that is the goal. And again, if we think back to the Magnificat, what does that mean? It means justice. It means the lifting up of those who've been pushed down, who've been taken advantage of, or who've been crushed by those in power. That is the end goal. The division is caused by human resistance to that goal. So Jesus isn't promoting division, but recognizes that there will be resistance. There will be resistance to change and to justice, and that will make his message divisive. That was the very real experience of Luke's audience. The message Jesus brought put them at odds with Rome. And then that, in and of itself, led to division from family members. Family who might prefer not to rock the boat, who might prefer to keep the peace with the powers that be. It's hard for us to hear this message of division, especially with the way Jesus uses family examples, because we tend to elevate family above all else. But Jesus' message is clear. The kingdom of God comes above all else, even above family. Jesus is speaking the harsh reality that working for God's kingdom, following Jesus and working for justice, is not easy, and it can be costly. But the kingdom of God does not maintain the status quo. It does not make exceptions for our comfort. It requires change, and that can be divisive. But just like with the fire, Jesus' purpose isn't destruction or division. It is life and love, not just for a few, but for all people. That call on our lives to care for others extends beyond our clan or even our chosen family to include all of God's children. Our gospel reading ends with Jesus talking about the ways that we observe the natural world and understand what's coming, like a change in the weather. We see the clouds gathering and we know a storm is coming. And with some frustration, Jesus tells his followers that these same skills of observation can be applied to the coming of God's kingdom. Look around you, he tells them. Look at what I am doing. Can't you see that change is happening? Can't you see that the kingdom of God is breaking in? This is an urgent call to pay attention, to see God at work in our world, to see all the places where change is needed, and to see the places where God's kingdom is already breaking in, where change is already happening. The good news in these difficult verses is that Jesus is passionate in his love for us and for the world. His strong language shows his urgency and the strength of his desire to bring change, change for the better, and to bring it now. Change that means all are cared for. None are crushed under the weight of oppression. All are fed and all have access to abundant life. The hard part that we can't explain away is that we are called to be part of that change, even when it's costly. And the signs all point to now. Now is the time. God's fiery and passionate love for us demands change. And it calls for us to participate in this urgent work for justice. It calls for us to share this urgency, to share this urgency in our love and our concern and our care for all of God's people. Thanks be to God. Amen.